Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Anyway, Sodom and Gomorrah is one of those times where we saw judgment fall and people look at it like, man, that was mean. That wasn't nice. Where's God? No, he was there. He was there. He's the one that did it. Another one. How about all the time when Israel followed after foreign gods? Because if we start to look into this and we're honestly assessing it, we will find out that every time Israel followed after foreign gods, that there was a judgment that came against them. But, and when that judgment came, there's repercussions of it. So, if you go out, we understand this right now, that if I go out and rob somebody or go tearing off with my car through anybody's yard I want and drive however I want, there will be judgments. Why can't we see that when we do things in our Christian life, that when these things happen to us, that we're just like, oh, God doesn't like me. You know, he's not that way. It's if it be thy will, I guess it was okay for this to happen. How about you stepped out of his will, stepped out of his protection, and walked smack into the semi? Wham! Why? Oh, I just didn't want to listen to him. I didn't want to give over that area of my life. I just wanted to walk in rebellion. I just wanted to hold on to bitterness. I needed to have my say. Okay, glory to God. Now, we'll go to the third opening. God is good. My third opening. I got to go all the way back here where I wrote it. Here we go. On the note of that God has put all of his word for us to train us up into righteousness out of 2 Timothy 3:16, which we just read. We start to go there, and then I'm going to go to John 1:1, right back to the beginning of where we started our very first night. John 1:1 says this: In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He, that is Jesus, was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And if you look in the notation on some of yours, it will actually say that the darkness did not overcome it. The Lord stirred in me just before service, actually when I was doing my running on the treadmill, all of a sudden, he's stirring in me, and he said, you know what the problem is with what's going on here in the world? People are trying to overcome my light with darkness. And so the light shines in the darkness, and the what? The darkness did not, and one version says, overcome it. We know that darkness can't overcome light. So when you're in a state of darkness and you do not have the light of the word and it hasn't been revealed to you, you are trying to overcome the truth of the gospel. With what? Darkness cannot overcome light. So we can't take our mental intellect, our cultural upbringing, the things that we've been trained for eons and eons, and these little deviated doctrines that are not established in the Word of God, because we will not be able to comprehend the light. And so we have to look at this. We'll continue reading. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. How many men? So who didn't get an option? Who didn't get a choice? Or is God the liar? Are you going to overcome his word? or not comprehend it? Or are we going to allow it light? Yeah. Every man has a choice. I love it because the Lord takes me off on this every once in a while. You know, Abraham was from Ur of the Chaldees. The Chaldeans were known for their astronomy. They're known for looking at the stars, and they had they worshiped the stars, and this was their pagan culture that they came from, if you talk about his father and everything. And so Abraham was raised staring at the universe and looking at all these proposed gods and everything like that. And this is what he worshiped, and this is how they set their seasons, and this is how they did everything that they were taught to do. So God speaks to him and then says, right through the very thing that he says, go outside, lift your eyes to the stars, and I'll make. He spoke Abraham's language to Abraham. He walked him out of the culture that he was in, out of a pagan religion, and brought himself to Abraham. And he revealed himself. He speaks fish to fishermen, farms to farmers, wood to carpenters. He speaks politics to kings. He speaks servants to masters. He speaks masters to servants. He speaks to us all. We'll continue. He gave every man the option. Verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Oh, praise the Lord, I believe in his name, and I am a child. Verse 13, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. His glory. You'll like come some of the other nights because it's going to get a lot of fun. As I told my wife, I said, tonight is chapters like 3 through 10 of the book that has 17. You know, everybody likes the beginning. Gets you ramped up in there. And everybody likes the end because they got to know what happened. But in the middle is just a whole lot of building. But without it, you don't get that precipice that comes to that explosion at the end. Tonight is a lot of building. And when we get there, it's a glorious finish. Glory to God. That we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Praise you, Lord, that tonight we have revealed to us the gracious endowments and abilities of you and the truth that sets us free. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. Verse 17, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. So now, let's pray, and then we'll start looking at the law. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, that the entrance of your word does give light. We thank you, Father, that your spirit is our teacher. We thank you, Lord, that you have put your stamp upon us. We proclaimed your name. We believed on the Son of God, and you have sent your Spirit to us, and he teaches us and leads us. We thank you, Father, that you have connected the dots, that you have not left us abandoned. Not as orphans, but you've given us your namesake that we might call you Abba, Father. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us in. And thank you, Lord, that you are teaching us all things and that we can step into your presence and go from glory to glory to glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So, let's see. Let's go look at Joshua 7. Joshua 7. This is the sin of Achan. And I'll give you one quick one. I just wanted to give. I'll just give it to you. When we keep talking about these things that aren't the pleasantries of God, but when we understand God and His ways, and we say He's good, they are so loving. They are so loving. But in Mark 10, chapter 10, there's an account. And in Luke 18 is the same account. And it's the account of the rich young ruler. And we find that he came to Jesus seeking eternal life. And Jesus asks him about the law. And he accounts the last half of the Ten Commandments, which are all the laws dealing between him and man. You know, are you stealing? Are you thieving? Are you, you know, looking at your neighbor's wife? All these things. And he goes, well, these I've known since I was a youth, and he's kept them all. And he goes, and you've done well. He got a good job, an attaboy. That's nice. Anyway, sorry, I just had to. So then he turns and asks him a question that deals with the first commandment, which was, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. And he says, okay, you've done well. Now, sell all you own, give it to the poor, and follow me. He now ministered to the heart by inspiration of the Spirit who spoke. And so we find Jesus ministering to a man. And as he ministers to this man that's seeking eternal life, we find that in so doing, did he add one to the flock that day? No. That man turned and walked away because he had much, many possessions. He was greatly sorrowed. You can cry all the way to hell until you yield from the heart. You're not following the Lord. And so we see again, those are the words of the Lord to somebody that was seeking after God. So what do we tell the world? There's plenty of things coming in our culture. There's plenty of things out there. Are you just trying to make friends? Are you just trying to be nice? Or are you trying to walk circumspectly? Are we standing? You know, any dead fish can float downstream. It takes a live one to go up. But you know what's interesting about fish that go upstream? They reproduce. They conquer obstacles. They drain themselves fighting to get up. When all those fish are going, you're watching them propel themselves, fatiguing themselves. They're going without food. Does this not sound like somebody that's serving the Lord? Lord, they'll fast. They'll pray. They'll spend sleepless nights. They will seek things to be able to give the gospel to somebody. And they'll continue and strive for the Lord so that they might reproduce something for the kingdom. But it's against everything else. Everything's coming against you. So we're not dead fish. We live. We live. Come on now. Zoe. We touched on that just a little bit. The life and character, the nature of God is on the inside of you. Okay. Sin of Achan. Sin of Achan. Chapter 7. I'm going to give you a quick note. This is interesting to me. In Numbers 1, 44 through 45, you'll find there's an account by Moses of all the men of war age 20 and older. Men of war. So I think they stopped at a certain point. I believe it was 65. I can't remember that. But men of war over age 20. 603,551 in the first generation with Moses. 603,551. Little army. How big's Montana? There are more people in the desert than there is in Montana. Because this is just men of war. Just, okay, that's a note. Note number two. In Numbers 26, the men of war are taken census again. This is Joshua's army. I just thought I'd throw these out to you. Men of war, 601,730 was the second generation with Joshua. So, let's look at the sin of Achan. What we have here in Joshua chapter 7, let's back up one verse. One verse is all. To 627. We just saw the destruction of Jericho. Woo! Come on now, right? I mean, how hard did they work on this one? All they had to do was do what? There you go. Come on, Lindsay. Throw this out there. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's all they got. They're playing their horns, and they're walking around, and then it's a woo, and we head on in. That should blow some gains. Anyway, anyway, but so they come off of this. I mean, walls go boom, and they go in. They didn't tear them down. They didn't pull them down. They just, you know, it's just like that song where it says God just, you know, kicks in the door and just walks in. They just walked in. Glory to God. How many people died? Anybody know? Zero. Not pretty good. Any military person is going to be like, I like them odds. I just like them odds when we lose nobody. So, 627. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout all the country. People know about that kind of stuff. I bet you they want to serve for you when you have that many casualties in a battle. Glory to God. Okay, now chapter 7. But the children of God committed a trespass against the accursed thing. They were told, by the way, I'll just give you some background. They were told not to touch any of the silver, the gold, anything. The first thing the Lord gave them, and glory to God, the first thing the Lord gave them was Jericho. And he asked for all of it. He asked for all of it. One of the first times I was doing some side jobs. I didn't take side jobs when I worked for a previous employer. I did side jobs. Lord had told me to take them. I didn't do them. I took them. I remember saving up, and I had about $500. And I'm like, Lord, what do I have this for? Why did I do this? What's this for? I mean, I know a lot of people can find things for money, but I asked the Lord because money's not. I'm just stewarding this stuff. I'm the wealth of the wicked is crying out for my hands. It wants to get into righteous hands so that it can be used throughout this community. And, well, for me, throughout this community and these areas. And I can give to every good work. I'm like, Lord, what is this for? What is this for? I didn't know. I mean, I had it for days. And it's like burning a hole in your pocket. That's kind of how people say it. You know what? Pray about anything that burns a hole in your pocket. Sounds like a great thing to gift. Because all it's doing is, I mean, only burning a hole in your pocket. If you want to get rid of it so bad, find out what God has for it. Just saying. Anyway, and so I remember they had a special guest minister, and that came one night, and he's speaking, and the Lord says, "There, cool, $500 in the offering plate." That was great. Another time, I'm doing a couple years later, doing side jobs. This time, pushing $1,000, end up with, Lord, what are we doing? What do I got this for? What is this? You want me to give it again? I'll give it again. I'll do whatever you want, Lord. No, this one's yours. So I bought a gun. Ruger 9mm, baby. I mean, it just, boom. I mean, it's a blast. I mean, and it's great. Anyway, I enjoy it. P89. But that's what it is. But and then I still remember another time, a couple years later, same thing. Lord Stern. Start taking up side job. Why am I doing side job? It's been years. But keeping them up. Taking them. More. Don't remember quite what we're up to. 5,000 to 7,000. Somewhere in there. But we're pregnant with that. Well, she was pregnant with that big old thing back there. And the Lord said, I'm praying about this. What is? And he goes, that's her maternity leave. Oh, really? I said, just hold on to it. That was her maternity leave. It bought her time off because we didn't have maternity leave. You know, my God is Jehovah Jireh. He sees and provides. He knows when needs are coming and when things are arrived. And that's how he deals. So he did this with the children of Israel. I was scriptural. He gave Jericho, he said, don't touch it. Chapter 7. But the children of Israel committed a trespass against the accursed things. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things. So the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. Now Joshua sent out men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Aven on the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them, saying, go up and spy out the country. So the men went up and spied out Ai. Or Ai. Ai. Oh, I don't. Anyway. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, okay, what was the size of the military? You can just give it to me in a big lump number. 600,000. They returned to Joshua and said to him, do not let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 go up and strike Ai. Do not weary all the people there, for the people of Ai are few. That army is small. Right? I mean, I'm just think about the chunk. How much are they sending? 0.5%. So this is what they say. That's what they say to send up. Verse 4, so about 3,000 men went up from the people, but they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai struck down about, how many? 36. Oh, that means somebody died. For they chased them from before the gate as far as Shebarim and struck them down at the descent before the hearts, or therefore the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Look at the response. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening. He and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, alas, Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all? It's a little bit heavy, but that's because I don't know the covenant as well as he did. He just walked through a military battle with zero casualties. And now he says, why did you bring this people over the Jordan at all? He's devastated. To deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Oh, that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. 36 people out of his 600 and some thousand army, and he falls flat on his face before God. That's a good thing for any leader. I'm just saying. O Lord, verse 8, what shall I say when Israel turns its back before its enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear and surround us and cut off your name from the earth. Then what will you do for your great name? So the Lord said to Joshua, get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? Israel has sinned. And they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken some of the accursed things and have both stolen and deceived, and they have also put it among their own stuff. That's words of wisdom, words of prophecy in the Old Testament, just so you know. Put it among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turn their backs before the enemies because they have become doomed to destruction. Are we following this in our lives? When we hold on to these things, or whatever, I mean, whatever the Lord speaks and prompts as we read the scriptures, are we finding ourselves so many times doomed to destruction just because the culture accepts it, but God does not? Neither will I be with you anymore. I thought Joshua was taking it hard. What did the Lord just say to them? Neither will I be with you anymore unless God will always provide a way of escape. Is that not what the word says? He will not have you camp in the valley of the shadow of death. He will lead you through the valley of the shadow of death. He has never left you nor forsaken you. He's always there. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for good and not for evil, for a future and a hope. He's a God, he's a faith God. He always looks in the future. He doesn't look at you now. He looks at you and he sees the blood of Jesus, and he hears his son's voice every time you open your mouth. As long as those words are in faith. Because faith comes through his son. Fear and doubt, those words he does not listen to. I almost got my Zoolander cough out of that one. Anyway, that name shouldn't be uttered in church either. Anyway, neither will I be with you anymore unless you destroy the accursed from among you. Get up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves. Set yourselves apart. Set yourselves apart. Sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, because thus says the Lord of God, there is an accursed thing in your midst. O Israel, you cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. We go to church. We want a good, or a nice, I'm going to use the word nice because it's the sarcastic way I want to say it. They want something nice said to them so they can walk out of the church on their path to destruction, doomed, and they did their religious obligation to live more hell on the earth, and they try to pronounce that God is causing their problems, and he didn't meet them financially. He didn't meet them in their physical body. He didn't meet them with their mental stability. He did. God is not a liar. My God is good, and he is right. They will not. They will not defeat their enemies. So they come in because they want you to say something nice to them, to pat them on the back or tell them, oh, it's okay. And they want to send them out so that they can walk like the world, look like the world, and try and give glory to God. Sheep or a goat? Meh. They both sound close. But in that day of separation, no goats go. Only sheep. Okay. Verse 14. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord takes shall come according to his families, and the family which the Lord takes shall come according to the household, and the household which the Lord takes shall come man by man. We're going to get to the bottom of this, is what God just said. If you need to do this in your life, do this in your life. Lord, I want to walk through my relationships. Am I holding any bitterness, any envy, any strife? Am I unforgiving towards somebody? Lord, bring it to my attention. I need to make these relationships right. I do not want to have a doomed, destroyed, dysfunctional, hellish life. I want to live in the blessings of God. Lord, I want to take my finances. Lord, am I giving them in the way that I should? Am I being a steward in the way that I should? Am I giving when you say to give? Am I not giving? Am I laying money down for things that are only giving Satan glory? I'm sorry. If you're buying cocaine and snorting it, you're probably not doing what God told you to do. Or any other myriad of things that you want to pick. I don't care. Lord, I thank you that you gave me this finances. I thank you that you gave me these things. Lord, I'll render to you easily the tithe. Father, I want to give more. I want to sacrifice for you. Lord, what do you need me to do? Can I give to somebody else? Father, I thank you that you've provided all of my sustenance, all of my things. Lord, what do you need? Because anything he removes from you, he will give back. Because he walks in covenant. And if you want a New Testament, if you sow it, you'll reap it. He provides seed to the sower. And seed always comes back multiplied. It always comes back multiplied. Put one seed in the ground and show me when you get one seed back. Anything. Come on. Anything? Show me anywhere where you put one seed in the ground and you get one seed back. It is good. Seed time and harvest are established from Genesis forever. He proclaimed it. It's here. So you take those areas through your life, one by one. Draw them out. Call them out. If you're having anything in your life, if you're having mental issues, if you're having anything, I don't care what it is, if there's something that's grating you, call the areas out in your life. You bring those areas out one at a time, and you start bringing them before the Lord. He will put his finger on that accursed thing, and you will not suffer the curse any longer. Glory to God. Freedom. Whom the Lord has set free is free indeed. Okay. Verse 15, then it shall be that he who is taken with the accursed thing shall be burned with fire, he and all he has, because he's transgressed the covenant of the Lord and because he has done a disgraceful thing in Israel. So Joshua rose early in the morning, brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. He brought the clan of Judah, and he took the family of the Zerahites. Think about the other 11 tribes. Whoo! Not us. And then all those families, you know, in Judah. Zerahites. Glory to God. It's in there. It's in there. It's not us. And he brought the family of the Zerahites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And then he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah was taken. Now Joshua said to Achan, my son, what the Father calls you. Doesn't matter how accursed it is. His heart will always say, my son. You can be the prodigal out with all the righteous living. You can blow it all. And when you come to him, he will say, my son. My son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and make confession to him and tell me now what you've done. Do not hide it from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I've done. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them, and there they are, hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent with the silver underneath it. the Lord told Joshua that would be found among their own things. He had it planted underneath. I mean, they've been burying money forever. Verse 22, so Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there it was, hidden in his tent with the silver under it. And they took them from the midst of the tent, brought them to Joshua and to all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. Then Joshua and all the Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day. So all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones still there to this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. What do you think Jesus' face looked like when he was running that whip through that temple? He wasn't smiling. He was vexed. He was grieved. Therefore, the name of the place was called the Valley of Achor to this day. And when they refer to Achan, it actually calls it the sin of Achan over and over. You'll find it recorded multiple times through the scriptures that they refer back to this point. And so we know that the Lord told them not to touch, and they touched. What are we touching in our lives that is not good, that is not godly? Because God is good. And so, praise the Lord, I guess I finished my intro. And I don't think I'm going to get to the rest of the sermon. But let's pray. And let's check our hearts tonight. Go ahead and bow your head. Father, we thank you. Lord, we know that your Spirit is speaking to us, revealing areas. Lord, we want to walk upright. We want to be moral and pure. Lord, we do desire to be good. And Father, we bring up these things right now, and we repent, Father, for anything that we held against another man, whether a brother in the Lord or in the world. Lord, we ask forgiveness for those things. We lay them on the altar that your righteous fire will burn them out of our lives. Father, we won't take them back. Father, if we have any idols in our life, anything that we've esteemed over you, show them to us. Father, that we might be able to place them up there, that they can burn as a sweet-smelling savor to you. Father, we want to stand in your blessing. We want to see your glory. We want to walk in your goodness. We want to come into your presence, Lord God, and we want to know you intimately. We want to know you deeply. We want to come face to face with our Father. We want to be known from the inside to the outside. Lord God, show us those things that we might purge ourselves. Reveal your heart within us. Father, we strive and desire to be like you. We want to be perfect as you are perfect. We want to be mature. We thank you, Lord. We hear your voice as you continue to call us. Lord, we lay it all down. We start with ourselves. We push aside our family. We push aside our spouses. We push aside anything there. Lord, intimately, one-on-one, face-to-face, speak to us. Holy Spirit, go with everyone. may they not be able to escape you. Lord, just as we pray for the heathen, that there are messengers of God that come across their path, that they will minister righteousness. Lord God, go with each and every one, ministering righteousness, that they will come into right standing with you. Father, we want to be a spotless bride. We want to be wholly filled. We thank you, Lord, that you provided everything that we had need of. Thank you for your blood. We apply it to our lives. We thank you that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And Father, we know that if we confess those things and we lay them out there, Lord, that we are forgiven. And that it is separated as far as the east is from the west. And anything that comes against us is a lie of the enemy. And Lord, we will not listen to his chatty words in our ears. We will only listen to the words of the Spirit. Speak those words to us. May we taste them like honey upon our lips. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.